Hello, I'm Gavin Horgan, headmaster of Millfield School in Somerset, the largest co-educational boarding school in the UK. Welcome to the Millfield Way podcast. Here, you'll hear from teachers, coaches, and students from Millfield and Millfield Prep School. Millfield is traditionally different, and this is the Millfield Way.
Welcome to another Millfield podcast in conversation with Michael Cleary. I'm James Possel, and it's a lovely weather here in Millfield. We're in the spring of 2022, and I'm delighted to be joined by Michael, our head of fencing. How are you doing, Michael?
Hi, James. Yeah, fantastic. Thank you very much. Enjoying the summer. It's nice to have some sun for once.
And that's from someone who must spend most of their life inside in fencing cells.
Yes. We don't get to see the sun much, so it's quite nice when we do.
And you're also coming on the back, I know, of a very successful period in championships. We had to defer our previous meeting to have a conversation because I think you'd almost lost your voice after a very successful national championships, more of which we may talk about shortly, Michael, to hear about the success we've had there. But I guess in these conversations, what we like to try and explore is the background of our coaches and directors of different sports and what's led them to their current position. So I wonder, Mike, could you tell us a bit about your background and how you ended up getting involved in fencing and then ultimately to Millfield? But where did it all begin? When did you start fencing at a young age?
So I started fencing when I was 11 or 12. It kind of all started as with many young children. I love swords, loved hitting things with swords and sort of playing with swords, and inspired very much by movies. And then my mum went into work one day and she worked with someone who was at a fencing club, and that person was covered in bruises and was aching all over. And so my mum decided that was the sport for me, to play with swords and get bruises, basically. And then that turned into a started off as a bit of fun, but very quickly became quite competitive. Competed at a young age around the local area, working with some very good coaches, one of which was an ex head of fencing here at school. Then that developed into my teenage years, stopped playing a bit of rugby, sort of really focused on fencing as a sport, but two very different sports, so definitely had to choose. Developed onto the national circuit, was working in training 3-4 times a week. And then that led on to national championships, and then sort of dipped my toe into the international circuit a little bit, sort of in my late teens. And then that moved me off to university, where I started my coaching down in Plymouth.
And were you fencing competitively yourself at this stage as well, Mike?
So when I was at university, it was part of the university leagues, the Bucks Championships. Came second one year in our national league, and I think we came second at the sort of the individual championships as well. But I think it was when I started coaching, I think my real focus became on development rather than performance. So I started to pull away from the competition circuit a bit there and found more joy in working with others, I think.
And that's why we're all going to teaching, isn't it? So there we go. We sacrifice our own ambitions, perhaps, for those charges with us. And how long have you been at Millfield for?
So I've been working at Millfield for 6 years now. So this is my sixth year, I believe. And started as a junior coach, part-time, giving a couple of lessons here and there. And it's slowly grown into a more development-based role rather than an introduction-based role. And then now into the head of fencing role from last September.
Well, it's kicked off in a good way. I alluded to the fact that we must be in pretty good shape at the moment because we are, I believe, is it public schools fencing champions? So sort of national champions. Is this for the ninth year running?
Yeah. So I think it's a real testament to the students and the program that we've built over the years. But ninth year running that we've won the overall combined trophy at the Public Schools Championships, which is, I think, breaking the record by 3 years now, I think.
Who held the record before?
I'm not too sure. I think it might have been Whitgift School before. So Whitgift and Brentwood are our usual competitors at that competition. They've got a bit of work to do.
I've really experienced in other things about sometimes when one school wins something year after year after year. And I know that sometimes it can make you almost a little bit unpopular because people see you always as winning. But I mean, that is a run of excellence, 9 years in a row. That must be remarkable. Do the students appreciate this as an achievement, right?
Yeah, I think they really do. And I think after the 2 years or 3 years we've just had, I think they kind of lost that appreciation a bit because they hadn't been in that environment. But I think coming out of last week, I think there's a renewed sense of pride in themselves and in what they do here at school. So I think definitely it's we're on a bit of a high, definitely.
Yeah, and this is to put context, this is combined is talking about across age groups, across years, and across boys and girls, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's across both genders, across three age groups, across three disciplines. So that's 18 events in total over the 3 days that we enter.
And how many of those 18 did you win?
So we won one this year, but we came back with second, third, fourth, lots of last eights, so lots of happy young fences after not competing for a very long time.
And so, you know, 13 odd trophies or something you said, compared to the next highest was like four. So, you know, an amazing record. And how big is the squad that you took of students?
So we took, well, the entries across the 3 days were 130 entries, and we make most of the kids do three events. So to really push them out of their comfort zone, we make them compete in the three different disciplines when they may specialise in only one. So we had a total of 55 students going up between the years 8 and 13.
Wow, that's a great number. And most of those, Mike, have been with us for quite a while, haven't they? As they're sort of students perhaps who have taken up fencing, even perhaps at the school at some stage?
Yeah, I think the majority of our post-16 students are students that have fenced throughout the entire school system. So started maybe down at prep school and have worked their way all the way up through. And I think even our sort of year 9s, 10s, 11s, they've all started here at school by the odd couple of outliers. But the majority of them have worked through the whole school system. And I think their efforts show.
Probably fencing may be quite unique in that some students in some sports will come and they're already pretty good. But genuinely, and there's not many in the school, I can think of a couple, clay shooting might be another, for example, where a student might come having never fenced in their lives and end up as a national champion.
Yeah, it's completely possible. It's one of those sports where you get out what you put in. It's one of those, because it's so self-motivating, so self-driven, work you put in will directly correlate with your results. There's the opportunity to do as much as you want with it, or as little as you want with it.
So what makes a good fencer?
This is the part of the sport that I think I really enjoy the most. It's as much a physical game as it is a mental game. It's been often described as physical chess. I'm not a huge fan of that. I like to think of it more as chess, but you get to bring your own pieces. So it's never an even game. It's always one person has better, might be stronger, the other person might be smarter. There's always different advantages, disadvantages in every fight. And I think the fact that it's such a cerebral sport means that every single time you get onto piece, you're ready to fence, it's going to be different from the last time. It could be the same opponent, but everything's going to be different.
So that if you know, to the outsider then, that's a bit confusing. You think if you beat someone once, so you see this in cricket and rugby, things where one side, you know, you've walloped you 1 week, you know, they might thump us again the next week, and they get that mental, you know, and maybe just a physical wearing down the opposition. How can you fence somebody maybe in the morning and then you come back in the afternoon and it'd be a complete different result?
Well, you will have had lots of other fights in between. So sometimes it comes down to, sometimes you've just seen that that person has a GB mark on their shoulder. And so before the fight's even started, you've already lost because you've decided you can't beat them. But then you've watched them fence, you've fought against them, you've noticed little sort of subtleties and differences, and you can pick up on those and you can surprise them and you can change them and change what goes on in the fight. So I think the subtleties of both the physical game and the mental game, they can really vary. And if you're in control of yourself, you're going to be able to dominate your opponent.
Fascinating stuff. There's always more to these, isn't it? It's interesting that physical versus psychological and mental. How do you train your fencers, Mike? And what's your philosophy for training at Millfield? Well, and also looking at, you know, this undoubted success. We can't doubt 9 years of being national champions. Why and how have we managed these things?
I think a lot of it comes down to our core values of accepting anyone and everyone, no matter age, ability or gender, and making all those, no matter where they are on their own personal journey, work with each other. So like many individual sports, it's very easy to focus in on yourself and your own pathway and your own development, but what we really try and encourage is that cross performance work. Try and really get those that are more experienced working with those that are less experienced, because it's a two-way learning street. They're going to learn more about their work by working with others, and then they're going to be helping others become better themselves. And I think another part of what we do is we really encourage the individualism of each person. So we don't do a one-size-fits-all approach. Each fencer, each student has their own individuality, and that individuality is most of the time their strength. And it's what separates them from everyone else that they're fencing against. And I think we really encourage them to explore that and explore themselves within the sport rather than focusing purely on the sport within them. And I think the program at the school, we work through the game system. I think we are one of 14 full-time sports at the school. So we are a full games option. And so we really look at having that wide breadth of individuals coming in. And then we look at supporting them all the way up through their entire process. So there's no one person over another person. It's each person has their own journey. And we're firm believers of that individualism.
Really interesting. And I guess that's also what people respond to, don't they? Perhaps quite much. It's a team sport, but it's also an individual sport, hugely, I should imagine. How do you balance the physical training? What do you do to train a good fencer on a physical side?
So we, like many fencing clubs and schools, we work a lot with on the footwork, on their blade work through one-to-one tuition, footwork through group sessions, through games, through quite tough exercises. The footwork position, I don't know if you've seen it, James, it's a very squat-like position where they have to really be able to be light on their feet while pushing their entire weight through at a low sort of low center of gravity. So we work a lot on our footwork game and making them move and making them agile. And then we have a fantastic team of very, very specialist coaches who work one-to-one on blade work skills, on tactics, on technical work, on engaging with the athletes to really help them explore their mental game. As we were talking about earlier, that the importance of that, knowing what you're doing, why you're doing it, how you're doing it. That one-to-one tuition work is a real place for that to really develop. And I think the experience our coaching team has really helps the students explore that in their own way.
And is this, I'm going to ask for you to blow your own trumpet here a bit, Mike, but is this down to our excellent coaches that makes that difference between us and perhaps other schools? Is it the amount of practice that the students can do? Is it the facilities? Is it the culture? Are you going to tell me it's all of those things?
It's definitely a combination. It's a nice, perfect storm. But I think along with our coaches, it's the approach the coaches have. I think all of our coaches have worked in a very similar environment together. I mean, two of them were my coaches when I was younger. So we all have a very similar working ethos. And I think that consistency across the board, and it's really felt with the students, and it allows them to have that confidence in that process, and confidence knowing that actually each coach they work with has the same ethos, underlying ethos to what they're being taught. So I think, to be honest, I think it's consistency. I think consistency and excellence, consistency in the work we put in and the work we get out.
An ignorant question, you may tell me, of course this never happens, but do boys fight girls? And is that normal, or would that be something that's always segregated? Because I'm thinking, as a co-ed, you know, genuinely co-ed sort of sport, you know, that could be an advantage, but maybe you'll tell me that never happens.
Competitively, no. Competitively, it stays separate. But as a program, we keep it mixed. We feel that both sexes can learn a lot from each other. And there's no reason why they can't train with each other, work with each other. At the end of the day, again, it's variety. It's variety of different styles, variety of different mindsets, variety of different blade work, different footwork. I think it's extremely important to keep the training together and mixed. But competitively, no, it's always been separated competitively.
What age do people start to specialise in, like a foil, an épée, sabre, is it as well? What age does that happen?
Any age. It's a very individual decision. We have some that have specialised very early on, for maybe at the age of 11, 12, and some that specialise a lot later. They get to they're 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and then they decide actually which one they prefer. We are very keen and firm believers of the cross weapon skills. While they are three very, very different disciplines, it's still one sport. And so there's a lot to learn from each of the three disciplines. So we there can be in the fencing world a bit of segregation and a bit of between the weapons, and a little bit of clicks between the different groups. But we really try and keep together and remind them that they're all one. It's all one sport across the three disciplines.
If someone's listening to this and is really keen fencer or would like to get into the sport more, but they're certainly keen on coming to Millfield, what would you advice would you give them in terms of what you're looking for as someone joining the club? And is there any other things they could work on to help impress you for when they arrived?
Flexibility is fantastic from a physical perspective. But it's the kind of sport where the physicality of the person doesn't matter as much as their willingness to learn and adapt and their problem solving skills. We've got a lot of students here who aren't necessarily your typical team sport athletes, but they excel because they're switched on. They are very good problem solvers, and they're able to apply that in a physical way. So I think those that are looking to join in with sport, is have an open mind, have a mind that's willing to adapt, learn, and be challenged.
Mike, it's been really great to chat to you. I think you're clearly on a crest of a wave of success with Millfield Fencing, and it's always, I know, difficult when you're taking over something successful to keep it going, but I think probably it's a great chance for you to build on that. You know, you are now heading up the program, and I don't see no reason why we won't remain to another 10 years to see if we can get, you know, 19, 20 years in a row as a challenge. You know, I'm sure you'd be up for that. I hope you are.
Yeah, definitely. It's what's been a joy here is the challenges the school throws up and the students throw up have been fantastic to work through and work with. And I think the way the school challenges its students brings a little bit of an edge. And I think that that shows within the, especially within our sport.
Well, that's what we hope to do. And we are combining all of this, of course, also around their good academic programme, because that's the main thing we want to do. Mike, thank you so much for spending the time to have a chat. It's been really interesting to learn about the fencing programme. And anyone who's listening who's keen to know more, how can they contact you?
Through my school email, which is on our website, I believe, on the under the sports programme, I believe, under fencing. And they can follow us on Twitter at Milford Fence, where we post quite regularly our development, our photos of our programme, of our students in action. That's a great place to really see, get a picture and see what a day in, or a week in the life of a Milford Fencer is.
I'm going to add it to my Twitter feed and I'll be following you avidly. Mike, thank you so much. It's been great to chat to you.
Thank you, James.